This is the thought for today. Successful organizations remember to release. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. Successful organizations remember to release. How important that is. This proprietary aspect of organizations keeps them really from being successful. It's when their product is interwoven into the mesh and fiber of all other organizations that true success comes to them. Possession destroys all life. It's interesting how when we have a great desire to reach out and be creative and be dynamic and be open to the world, we love to have the comment made to us, to copy is the greatest compliment. The greatest compliment is to copy somebody else's work. It says how much we believe in it. But if that is a great compliment, if that is a great desire, or not desire, but a great thing to do, which it isn't, then why not be creative yourself? If somebody's words inspire you, if somebody's words lift you up, then take those words and make them yours and bring them back in a new form, in a new direction, in a new life. I love to use quotations from various authors because it gives me an opportunity to work in their mind for a while and then perhaps come up with something unique and different and fantastic from my own thinking. Because my own thinking is ready to be revealed, it's ready to be open, it's ready to be given out in such a wonderful way that it's just hard to imagine how fantastic it could be. But there it is. It's really amazing. I like what Winston Churchill said. He says, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And of course, giving is the greatest art of all. Do you have the program in your world of giving? Do you have the program in your world of being fantastic? We bring up Bill Gates often because he is a living example and he has many things going for him. But what's one of the primary things that Bill Gates does? He gives away money. He has his philanthropic organization that gives away money. His wife is working continuously trying to figure out places to give it away where it will do what she feels is a beneficial thing to do, where it'll do what she feels is going to be something beneficial to mankind and not proprietary. See, the very thing that Microsoft has been is proprietary, and now they're looking for organizations that are not proprietary, although they would like to give away to organizations that are naturally going to encourage and support the use of computers and software and things like that, which is a very noble thing to do. But again, when you possess something, it destroys you. Again, with Bill Gates, it's been my observation that his primary concern throughout his entire business life has been to develop software, to be creative, to be imaginative, to bring forth new ideas and to bring forth new creative things that are going to be beneficial to his program and to the computer industry and to the computer business and to the software business. What is your business? What is my business? What is the business that we are active in? Well, we're active in the University of Healing, Church of God Unlimited. And we go out and we find people all over the world who want to take our courses. We find people all over the world who want to get into our philosophy. And then we say to them, okay, now first show us that this really is something that you believe in, that you espouse. And so then we give them the I am God, God I am concept, which is the teaching of Jesus. And they take that and they say, oh, but that can't be so because Jesus is our Savior. Jesus helps us. Jesus takes care of our needs and our Father in heaven. He is the one who is this and so forth. And we say, yes, that's true. But if you read the book, you will see where all this is very true and who that Father in heaven is and where that divine self is that you are. Read the book, study it. So we are indeed proprietary. We're happy to work with people who will study the course, who will learn the course, who will accept it, But many times people just say, I just want to have the certification. I just want the ordination, because your ordination program seems so easy. Your certification program seems so easy. And I say, have you really studied it? Have you really done it? Have the proctors gone over your lessons each week and checked with you to see how you are thoroughly understanding what the teaching is? Are you understanding that? And the answer usually is no, because they are one-pointed on getting a certificate. They're one-pointed on getting a degree. They're one-pointed on being ordained as a minister to go out and help the world. Well, we teach that ministers who help the world are ministers who first see the world as fabulous, wonderful, fantastic, glorious, magnificent in every way, and this is the way it was divinely created in the beginning, and we're returning to that original purity and integrity, and we're encouraging people to do this. Well, when you are possessed by whatever teaching or training you've had in the past, and many of these things are not beneficial, and you say, well, certainly the teachings of my mother are beneficial. Not really. Did your mother say to you, you are a fabulous child, you can do anything, you're a genius, you're wonderful? Well, no. She was realistic about it. She said, I'm not doing too well in school, and I can probably expect to just get by in life, but get by with a happy way. Now, why did your mother say you weren't getting along well in school? If your mother really investigated you, she'd find out the reason you weren't getting along in school, because you know all that information. You are brilliant. And as she would investigate that, she would find out that the reason you weren't getting along in school is that you were beholden to the idea that you're an average student, that you're not a top student, that you have difficulty learning. Your father may have said to you, I have always had difficulty in math. And your mother said, poetry, I wish that it were really true, but it's a big joke. And of course, what she meant was she'd love to hear more poetry, and she'd love her life to be filled with poetry, but she has to be realistic insofar as her husband has never been one to be a poet. So, you see, we have all these attitudes that flow around us and that destroy our success in anything that we want to do. And we have to learn to release those things. We have to learn to let them go. That possession will destroy all life. That possession will keep us from being the fabulous beings that we are. And how does it keep us from being the fabulous beings we are? Well, it teaches us something which is not true. It teaches us that we are limited. It teaches us that we are possessed of something that is important to be possessed of. It teaches us ideas that would say to us that we are not divine. I say to people who call at our healing ministry all the time, all is in divine order. And they say, yeah, but. No. You get your bloated nothingness out of the way there. Get your attitudes out of the way. Get your visions of the appearances that you see out of the way and start saying, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Well, that's too easy. That's too easy. Oh, really? When you look at your person that you're working with, and it might be yourself, you say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. You see, we're possessed by the appearances that stand before us, and success in our organization of our body, in the organization of our family, in the organization of our world, it destroys us, because we have to remember to release it. We have to learn how to release it, because that possession will destroy all of life. It'll destroy us as we seek to be the beautiful, fantastic, glorious people that we are. Now, how do you go about doing that? Well, you just put simply a new cause in motion. All is in divine order. And begin to think, what does it mean, all is in divine order? What does that say to you, all is in divine order? How does that mean anything to your life to say all is in divine order? What does that say to you? What does it mean? What does it touch in your life? All is in divine order. But what it touches is the very soul element of your being. It touches the very essence of your being. It speaks to you in such a magnificent way that says, yes, it can be so. It can be so. I know from my own experiences, I have worked with many people who have had conditions that seemed unbelievable and ones that certainly seemed like they were impossible of solution. And it can be so. It can be so. And it is so. And it's wonderfully so. Now, how do you work on that? How do I work on that? It's a matter of releasing the idea that says what we have learned in the past is the truth. What we have learned in the past is what we have learned in the past. What we have learned in the past are attitudes and ideas which have limited us, which have benefited us, which have uplifted up us, which have done many things. But now those that limited us, let's look at them and release it. But how do you know which ones they are? How do you know which ideas limited you and keep you from being the fabulous person you are? That's the point. You don't know. And there's no way that you can research it out and find it without making it worse. Because as you give your attention to the problem, you exacerbate that problem and you make that problem greater and you make that problem more rough in your life. But when you say, all is in divine order, and you leave it up to the divine in you to put it in divine order, to reveal it in divine order, to manifest it as divine order. When you do that, your job is done. Your job is merely to say all is in divine order, and so it is. And when you say all is in divine order, you are speaking your word of truth in such a dynamic, forceful, powerful way that nothing can defeat it, nothing can deny it, nothing can underplay it. It's a wonderful thing. The possession of these old concepts, it destroys all of life. And we really are not too interested in that. We're more interested in the new idea. Not how to make a living is what we get, but how to make a life by what we give. If we can teach ourselves to just be total giving beings, we will find that our life will be filled with more good than we could ever hold in our consciousness. And that will just overflow into giving again and again and again. And you say, but we mustn't be foolish, we mustn't be wasteful, we mustn't be outrageous with our possessions. No, that's true. You mustn't be outrageous. You must not possess possessions. Whatever you have, share it, give it, and more will be there. But don't give it because more will be there. Give it because you want to give. Give it, and I like the idea of Khalil Gibran. He says, generosity is not giving me that which I need more than you do, but generosity is giving me that which you need more than I do. Khalil Gibran's quite a mind, quite a beautiful consciousness. Giving me that which you need more than I do. You see, when we're not possessed by things, we can freely give them. And we can give them because we no longer need them. We no longer have a possession of them. And then we're giving in the true art of giving. We're giving not from another's need or not from our need, but we're giving because it is our way of being, our generosity of life, our expression of wholeness and fabulous realization that all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Say that. All is in divine order. And as you say, all is in divine order, you will find that all is in divine order. And you will have a very fulfilling, happy, and a wonderful life. Today, open your mind, release the past, live in the now, claim all is in divine order, and be the happiest, most magnificent, most fulfilled and wonderful being on the face of the earth. Have a glorious day. I love you. I love you. I love you.